Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our mind and our heart that we might understand, so that we will turn to you and live.
Well, let us pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the gift, the sacrament of holy baptism. We thank you for those who have heard your invitation and your call to come forward, to be baptized, and through their baptism, enter into deeper life with you, deeper life with your friends that you call the church. Holy Spirit, you who hovered over creation's waters, would you hover over us now? Would you fill us? We pray over the next few minutes that only truth would be spoken and only truth received. Amen. Amen. Well, in the Nicene Creed, we profess week after week one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. That line that we profess almost weekly here at All Souls is, of course, taken from the first recorded sermon of one of Jesus's friends, St. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, where Luke writes, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Friends, what shall we do?' And Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord, our God, will call.'" Friends, this is why we, the saints, have gathered at the waters. This is why the saints over the centuries have gathered at the waters. During times of peace and during times of upheaval, during time of famine and during time of prosperity, they have gathered at the water, invited by God and invited by God's people to, in the words of the prophet Ezekiel this morning, "Be made clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, says the Lord, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you the heart of flesh." The church has gathered, the church is gathering, and the church will gather to be baptized into Christ Jesus. Not just baptized into his life and his resurrection, but baptized into his death. And not just baptized into his death, but baptized into his life and into his resurrection. This is Paul today in his letter to the church in Rome. "Do you know," St. Paul writes, "that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." What is it that St. Paul's saying? That the God who kept Jesus, the God who kept Jesus not from dying, but the God who kept Jesus from death, keeps us. That Jesus faces down death, and in that facing down of death, trust the God who's able to save him from death. Jesus is brought forth from the grave, but he does not come forth alone. He is brought forth from the grave with everyone's death that he has claimed. Jesus clings to God as he goes into death. And because God is the creator of all things, what happens to death? Death dies. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens to God. As you heard this morning, Christ is baptized in the river waters of Jordan. And does Christ do this in order for his sins to be washed away? Does Christ do this in order, in the words of Peter, to be forgiven? By no means. When Christ is baptized in the waters, there is nothing to wash away. Christ is not changed. The water is. The water is made holy. The water you and I have entered into, will enter into. Christ is not changed. God is not changed. The water is. When the leper touches Christ, Christ is not made unclean. What happens? The leper is healed. When Christ dies, he is not dead. Death is dead. When Christ is baptized in the waters, he is not washed clean. There is nothing to wash clean. Christ is not changed. The water is made holy. The water is what changes. And so, when we are baptized into one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, we are baptized into Christ's baptism. Our baptism joins with his and with all the saints who have come before us. It is joined with all the saints who will come after us. We enter into a water that has been changed by the coming of God in Christ. We enter into a life that has been transfigured by the coming of God in Christ. We enter into a people who have been changed, who are being transformed and transfigured and healed and restored and put back together by the coming of God in Christ. And here is where I want to invite us in the last few minutes to reflect together. Because there's a very seductive, there is a very popular, and I would even argue damaging way of thinking about the church today, this place in which we have been invited and entered into by nature of our baptism. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, describes this seductive and dangerous way of thinking about the church in this way. It is a view that the church is essentially a lot of people who have something in common called Christian faith, who get together to share it with each other and communicate it to the people outside. What Rowan is describing in that one little phrase is an event, a gathering of people who have something in common, who gather to share it with others and with the people outside. But this is, friends, far removed from how Jesus speaks about the church. About, for that sake, how the entire New Testament talks about the church, how our Jewish ancestors thought about it. We are not baptized into an event, dear friends. No, we are baptized into life, life with God and life with God's friends. The church is a kind of space that has been created by God through Christ. The church is a space in which the people may become what God has first made us to be, daughters and sons of God. The church is not first and foremost an organization we belong to. It is a place that we are called to inhabit. This is the fold we have been brought into. This is what we are baptized into. A place where we can be healed and continue to be healed in order that we might see properly, see God properly, but not just God, but also God's creation, to see ourselves properly, to see our neighbors properly. It's a place that is occupied by Christ, who is himself the sun, who is himself the atmosphere, the field, the water, the house, the bread, the wine. A place that was not built in the past and left untouched, but is being shaped daily here and now by the gentle, loving, and firm actions of Christ. Actions that are the giving of a gift. Christ makes himself a gift. A gift that makes peace between humanity and God. A sacrifice, not like a bribe in order to convince a hostile deity to overlook our brokenness and failures, but a gift, like something handed over, something given up, so that a mutual relationship can be created and sustained. This is God's self-giving love that we witness today. This is God's self-giving love that we see and taste and smell and feel and hear every week when we come to the Eucharist table. That you and I, in our baptism, have been taken, blessed, baptized, broken, given with Christ and in Christ. And because of this, we are becoming more human. This is what it means in part to be baptized. It's what it means to be the children of God. And so today we have placed our bodies where Christ has told us he's present, at the waters and at his table, as the gathered people of God, learning to recognize him as he wants to be known. And so as we witness these precious souls be baptized, and as we remember our baptism, as we share Christ at the table, here is the invitation in the words of Maggie Ross. Behold, behold the God who is infinitely more humble than those who pray to him, more stripped, more emptied, more self-outpouring. And we need to remember the humility and the humiliation are mutually exclusive. Humility knows only love, and God is love. The scandal of the incarnation, the scandal of the church, the scandal of baptism, the scandal of the Eucharist, the scandal of the good news is not that we are naked before Emmanuel, who is God with us, but God is naked before us. And in utter silence, given over into our hands and hearts. And it is in the depths of this beholding, in the silence of the loving heart of God, that the divine exchange takes place most fully, where each of us, in our own uniqueness and strangeness, is transfigured into the divine life. And it is for this that God comes to us. The Word made flesh, stable formed, stable born and crucified, baptized and risen. Bread, wine, water, people. Behold. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.